This podcast is part of the MyPodcast.com network. Go online right now and get your very own 100% free podcast, MyPodcast.com.
Out, it's so we can breathe in. Luke 15, verse 11, is a story we've read in this place more than once, two or three times at least a year in this place, maybe even more. Because this story is at the heart of what we needed from Jesus, and it's at the heart of what we want to offer other people from Jesus. Let's just read the story, and we'll stop every so often just to take a focus on something. So Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." Stop. Give me my share of the estate. What is an estate? It's property, and usually you divide the estate when? After the parents have died. So the son is saying to the parent, son is saying to his father, "I just as soon wish you were dead, or you are dead to me, and I want my..." Look at it. He said, "Give me my share." Does he have a share yet? Now, if the father's not dead, there is no share yet. But he wants to be it as if the father is dead. "I want my share of the property." Stop. Tell me what you think about this, and honest. Now, you can't cuss, but tell me honest what you think about this guy.
He's snotty.
He's snotty.
Rude.
Is it
very
greedy? Jerk.
Selfish.
Spoiled.
Ungrateful.
Cold-hearted.
Stupid.
And not very bright, okay?
He watches too much TV. It's my money and I want it now.
There you go. That's a good point. Now, I think it's important to remember how you feel about him right now. Can you imagine what the father felt? But whatever was going on inside that father's heart, notice what he did. So he divided his property between his sons, right? Not long after that, and I keep reading, verse 13, not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and set off for a distant country. Stop. Tell me what you know about this son.
He wanted to be as far away from his father
as he could. Tell me what you know about this son.
He didn't appreciate his father.
Didn't appreciate his father. Tell me what you know about this son. The fact that he wants to go to a faraway country, he wants to get as far away from the father as he can. He wants to do what he wants instead of what his dad wants, and he wants to hide what he was doing. He wants nothing to do with his father. Now, time out a second. It's real easy, and I'm intending to make it easy, for us to look at this old boy and kick him around. But anybody sitting in this room that's ever been ungrateful, greedy, jerk, and want to hide what we're doing, let's just make sure while we're giving this guy his cussing, that we're going to be honest enough when we need to apply it to us. Keep reading. And while he was there, he squandered his wealth. What does squandered mean?
Spend it all away.
Spend it all. Wasted it. He squandered his wealth in helping other people who were hungry. Right? Wrong. Look at it. He squandered his living in while living. Tim, what you think about this? What does it look like to you?
He's a
partier. What do you know about him?
Self-indulgent.
He's self-indulgent. What do you think about him? He doesn't think about the future. He thinks about right now. Very irresponsible. What do you think about him? He treated his father like his father was dead. He tried to get as far away as he wanted. Had nothing to do with him. And then when he had his own way of doing things, when he could do what he wanted, when he wanted, how he wanted, he wasted it all, squandered it in wild living. And what did he have left? Look at it. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. Underline the phrase, he began to be in need. This old boy had it all and lost it all, wasted it. And what were the words we used? Self-indulgent, selfish, greedy, jerk, ungrateful. Now think about it. He did all those things. He did all those things. And he got in need. Now watch what happens. So when he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, he sent him to the field to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating. Why? No one, look at the phrase, read it, verse 16. No one gave him anything. Now.
He never gave anybody anything else.
He took. That's all he was. He was a taker. He wanted it for himself. He's selfish. All those things you said, and a lot more if we wanted to get down to it. Here's the point. I won't ask you to do it. I'll just tell you. I did that. I've been this kid. I've wasted money. I've hurt my family. I've lived hidden from what my family thought was right. I squandered reputation. I squandered opportunities. I squandered my life in so many ways. And when I was in trouble, I ended up like this old boy thinking it would be better for me just to hang out in this mess than to go back home. Anybody else honest enough to admit that's where you've been? What's it like out there? What's it like to recognize I've wasted it? And it was my fault. It's not the government's fault. It's not my parents' fault. It's not my boss's fault. We love to do that, don't we? We love to blame everybody else, but it's not the policeman's fault. It's not the judge's fault. It's not the teacher's fault. It's not anybody else's. It was my fault. I messed up. And I ended up away from my family, away from God. I did that. What's it like out there? It's hard. What's it like out there?
Pretty lonely.
Lonely. What's it like out there?
Cold
out there, isn't it?
Miserable.
What's it like out there?
Hopeless.
What's it like out there?
Dark.
It's very dark.
Depressing.
What's it like out there? It's dirty. Filthy. What's it like out there? The reason we know, and that, you know how we know? The ones that spoke, and I suspect even the ones that didn't speak, you know how we know what it's like out there? I've been there. You've been there. Now, something happened to this old boy in that mess. Something happened to that old boy in this mess that happened to me when I was in my mess. And it happened to some of you too. You want to guess what it is? Better than guess, why don't you read it? Verse 17. Underline the phrase, when he came to his senses. You know why he acted like he did? You know why he treated his father like that? You know why he wasted all that stuff? Because he was out of his mind. He's just out of his mind selfish. And some of us have been that way. Some of us are that way. Some of us still struggle with that. We get out of our minds selfish. We want what we want, when we want it, how we want it. And we don't think about anybody else. But you live your life that way, where are you headed? You're headed to a pig pen named hell. You are headed to some damaging, dangerous place. So when he was there, it says he came to his senses. Now, folks, coming to your senses means you finally wake up, you figure out what I was doing was wrong. I want to do what's right. Now, there's lots of hard... That's hard to do. It's hard to make the change. We won't take long, but I want somebody honestly to tell me what's the hardest thing about when you wake up in that pig pen and you come to your senses, what's the hardest thing about cleaning up your life, coming home, and getting started all over again? What's the hardest thing to deal with? All right, now first, let's start there, is admitting it.
Letting the world know.
Because he'd been a long way away, right? So having to let the people at home know what he had done about squandering all of his money and living in the pig pen, that's not anything to be proud of. So admitting it is tough. Letting other people know is tough. Somebody else.
I'm feeling remorse and apology.
who having to do, now you feel bad already, don't you? Honest, when you come to your senses, do you feel bad? Yes, but the hard part of that is apologizing.
Oh.
Ruby.
Oh. I was going to say, knowing that you can't reverse what you've done and the people you've hurt.
Okay. We got to deal with this one, okay? It doesn't deal with it in the text. It deals with all the other things you mentioned. It deals with it in the text. But we've got to deal with this one because this is a reality. And you're going to see it later in this text, but it's not going to be dealt with like we need to in here. You cannot undo what you did. You can apologize. You can live different. You can be better. But you cannot undo it. There are people that are... There are people to this day that when they pray, if my name is mentioned or if I come up to their mind, they pray that God allows me to face judgment that I deserve. Thank God He has mercy. But there are people that I hurt so bad that they will forever, I believe, hold it against me. I understand. I'm not upset with them. I hate it for them. Because I hate what I did. But the truth is, folks, you can't undo it. He can't unwaste his money. He can't unwaste what he did to his father. He can't undo it.
He could try to win the lottery.
He could try to make up for it.
That's what he can, but can't change it?
No.
No. He can't. So just go ahead and get ready. That's one of the toughest things you're going to deal with when you start on your way home. You can't change what happened. But you can change you. You can change you. Come to your senses and figure out, I have got to make this thing right. Look at what he does to make it right. Number one, he came to his senses. Number two, look what he says. He said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. And so he got up and went to his father. Now, so number one was he came to his senses. Number two, he figured out who could help him fix it. That's a major deal, folks. Because I've seen people come out of drugs and go into alcohol. Or go from alcohol to drugs. That going to help? No. If you're coming out of a pig pen, the only place to come is to somebody who can help fix it. The father was the one you hurt, you come back to the father, right? He came to his senses and decided, I'm going back to be with my father. Now, was he going back strutting saying, Dad, I'm your son, I know you got to take me back? No. He was going with the right attitude. He's come with that humble attitude. He is going to make himself admit to his father, I messed up. Well, that's number three. Look at his speech. I have sinned against heaven and against you. You don't recover from any sin. You do not recover from any sin. You do not recover from any addiction. You do not recover from any compulsive or destructive behavior until you're willing to admit it. And make amends for it.
And what's bad is if that one person, if you hurt your father and you're the one trying to make amends with him, is him not being the one to forgive you, to bear and hold on to.
Yeah, because there's no guarantee how he's going to treat you, except in this story. This story says if you come to your senses, you figure out, man, I need to get back to my father, and I'm going to admit what I've done, and I'm going to do what I can to make things right. Keep reading. Verse 20, it's number 4, he got up and went to his father. Do you know how many people I've heard, while they were drunk, talk about, boy, when I get sober this time, I'm never going to go back to that. Anybody got any stories like that? I don't know how many people I've seen in a mess with drugs say, you know, I'm never going to do this again. You know how many people I've seen in trouble with money or sexual immorality or bad relationships, abusive relationships? You know how many of them say, boy, I'm going to turn. I'm going to get away. I'm going to stop this. And they never do it. After all was said and done, more was said than done. Number 4 is this old boy got up and did something about it. Folks, if we're going to turn our lives around, you can't just sit and talk about it. You got to turn around and do something about it. He came to his senses. He said, I'm going to get to my Father. I'm going to humble myself and admit what I did was wrong. And he got up and did it. Keep reading. I'd like to skip verse 20 for a minute and let you read verse 21. What'd the son do? The son said to him, Father, they must have met. I want you to skip that part, remember? I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. He did it. He got up and did it. And he followed through. He finished it. He finished. He didn't stop halfway. He didn't stop halfway. He went all the way home. If you're going to turn your life around, you got to admit it. You got to set your destination where it needs. I need to get back to my Father. You humble yourself and admit what you did was wrong. You get up and start that direction, but you finish it. You see it through. And for those of us who are trying that right now, that would mean we don't stop. We do not stop. We do not stop. We do not stop until we see the Father face to face in glory. This is just the time we spend getting things right with God, right? But I got to show you what God does. It's amazing. Look what the Father does. Look at verse 20 again. We skipped it to make the point, but look at verse 20. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him. Okay, now that tells me something about the father. You told me before about the son. Now tell me about the father.
He was waiting for him to come back.
Waiting is a good word. But there's something else involved here. He had a lot of love for his son. But I want you to look at this verse again. Oh, he's hoping, so he was watching. You need to write it in the margin of your Bible. He's not just watching. There's another word. Watching is a good word. Write it down. He's searching for his son. He's seeking for his son. His son's playing hide and seek, and his father is out seeking the one that was hiding. How do I know that? Because it said he saw him when he was a long way off. This father wants that boy home. So it's not just leaving a light on in the window. It's not just leaving the front door unlocked. That father, I'll say it because I believe it, and then I think I can prove it, was out looking for this boy, y'all. He wasn't just sitting at home on the front porch watching for him. He was looking for him. How do I know that's true? I'll give you two stories from the Bible. If you don't know them, you can read them later. Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve sin. They feel ashamed. They're hiding from God. What does it say that the voice of God does? Comes walking in the garden looking for them. Adam, where are you? So what do I know from one of the first stories about God? What do I know? God looks for people who are in trouble. Listen to me. God looks for people who are in trouble. God looks for people who are feeling guilty. Now, guilty folks are trying to do what? And how do they feel like God feels about them? Mad and upset. And he's going to punish. And there's punishment. I understand. But what does God do for people who are guilty? He comes looking for them so he can help them. Jesus will tell a story. Zacchaeus, a little short man hanging out in a tree. Jesus stops, sees him, takes him home to eat supper with him. And it says the Son of Man came to seek. So I see it the Father and I see it in the Son. That when somebody's hurting, when somebody's in trouble, they come looking for them. They come searching for them. They come seeking them. His father wasn't sitting on the front porch hoping, just hoping. His father was hoping to find him, so he was seeking him. He is looking for him. And when he saw him, now, you got to get the picture. You got to get the picture. What's the son doing? He's walking. Now, how is the son walking home? And those of you who have ever gone through anything like this, you know this is true. How's the son walking home? Head down. Kind of shuffling. Is he excited about the opportunity to see the people that he's hurt?
No.
He knows he's got to do it, and all the way he's I guarantee you he's practicing his speech. You know how I know he's practicing his speech? I've practiced my speech. Have you? I need to say this, and then I'll tell this, and then after he beats me, I'll do this, you know. And I practice my speech, right? So the son is walking kind of like this. Now, what's the father kicking rocks? That's right. What's the father doing? The father's looking for him, right? The father's searching for him. I mean, I don't know if he's look. I don't know what the landscape was like, but he is at a place where he can look afar off. And so he's watching for him. He's seeking. Where is that boy? Wish that boy'd come home. Where is he? And then when he sees him, you tell me what the Bible says. Look what he says. When the father saw him and was filled with compassion for him, we might as well go ahead and do it. We do it all the time here. Compassion, last part means? Strong emotion, full of feeling, common community, same passion, same feeling. That father sees that boy, and that boy is going, Father, I pray for my son, after you beat me, then I'll do this. You know, what's the father feel immediately? What that boy feels. So he doesn't want that boy to feel that. So what does he do? Read it right in the Bible, underline it. What does he do? He ran to his son. Now, I don't apologize. It's just the way my brain works. Who is this? This is a father, an older gentleman. Do you see older people run anywhere? No. I see people run all the time. They're out exercising. They need medication or psychotherapy, but they're out running. But they're usually young, and they're dressed in these real sleek kind of garments, and they got these shoes, and they're so fluid. Have you seen old people run? It is not fluid. There's no spring left in their step. I don't run anymore. I do not run, even chasing grandchildren. If they want to catch me, Papa, I say, run fast, a long way away. You know, that's good. I don't chase them. But when I have to run, if I have to run, when my foot hits the ground, it goes clunk, crack, clank. You can hear bones clacking together, right? Here is this old man, sees his son. Now, what's he wearing? He's wearing a sandal. You ever run in sandals? And he's wearing a dress. You ever run in, it's a robe, but it's a dress. He takes that old man's got his robe hiked up, and he is running. And he's, now here's the son. The son looks up. He's been practicing his speech. And then when you beat me, I'll... And then he looks up, and he sees his father running right at him. You tell me, honest, what's going on in the boy's heart? I'm going to get beat. It's all over. And the fight, I bet he stops. I bet he does not break into a run. Oh, Father, I bet... Nuh-uh. I bet you he stops and starts going, I don't know if this is a good move or not. You know what I mean? And the father, look what it says. And the father ran to him and threw his arms around him and kissed him. And I love the fact that the son keeps making his speech. He says, Father, I've sinned. The father let him say what he needed to say. Father, I've sinned against you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Look at verse 22. You ought to circle the first word in verse 22. Was the son right? Yep, he was right. Does he deserve to be a son anymore? Nope, he's already wasted his inheritance, so he deserves to be just a hired servant, if anything. But, circle it. The father said to the servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. The father wanted him covered. Keep reading. Put a ring on his finger. That identifies him as a family member. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. This old boy, barefooted. Sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive, and again he was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. How'd the father react? saw him because he'd been looking for him. Filled with compassion, understood how he felt. Came running to meet him. Welcomed him in his arms. And then confirmed his love with a robe, ring, sandals, and a celebration. A robe, a ring, sandals, and a celebration. I'll say it and let your hearts take care of it with the Father. Some of us in this room, it's time for us to come to our senses. Maybe it's why you're here. You come to your senses. It's time for us to say, I want to come home. I just want to come home. The way I've lived is not the way I want to live. The way I've managed things with my money, managed my family, the way I've done my body or done my life, I don't want to do that anymore. I want to come home. Then come to your senses. If you've come to your senses, then admit what's wrong and let God welcome you home. You do not have to live out there where it's cold and dark, hateful. You can come home and you can find a father that's going to treat you like you need to be treated, like you want to be treated. Now the rest of this story tells you about a brother who didn't treat him like the father wanted him treated. There's reasons for us to discuss that, but not today. Because today's about us deciding, I don't want to live out there anymore. I want to come home. We're going to eat a piece of bread that's unleavened. And Jesus said that's to help us remember His body. And we're going to drink some fruit of the vine. And that's, Jesus said, is His blood and reminds us of the blood that forgives our sins. While you eat that bread and you drink that fruit of the vine, be a good time to let your heart say what it needs to say to God. I have sinned, and I'm not worthy to be called your son. But the fact that you're eating the body and drinking the blood of Jesus ought to be confirmation that He wants you home. Let the Father run to meet you and welcome you home.